Court decided that schools can restrict free speech that may be seen as promoting illegal drug use. Across Iraq, there were at least 5 suicide and other bombings today. At least 45 people were killed in the attacks. One of them targeted a hotel meeting of Sunni sheikhs who are trying to drive out al-Qaeda militants from the Anbar province. In unrelated violence south of Baghdad today, a U.S. soldier was shot to death. The former... This is the Quality News Network. A massive forest fire near the Lake Tahoe Resort area has destroyed at least 240 structures. 1,000 people have evacuated their homes. Fire officials say they believe it was started by human activity Sunday afternoon. The fire has burned nearly 4 square miles and is only 10% contained. Several Supreme Court decisions today. In one case, the court weakened part of the campaign finance law, ruling that the law, which limits interest group ads that are broadcast close to elections, violates the First Amendment free speech rights. In another decision today, the court ruled that a group of atheists and agnostics cannot sue the federal government over the Bush administration's faith-based plan. Also, the court decided that schools can restrict free speech that may be seen as promoting illegal drug use. Across Iraq, there were at least 5 suicide and other bombings today. At least 45 people were killed in the attacks. One of them targeted a hotel meeting of Sunni sheikhs who are trying to drive out al-Qaeda militants from the Anbar province. In unrelated violence south of Baghdad today, a U.S. soldier was shot to death. The former head of the EPA, Christy Whitman, testified before Congress today about how her agency handled the aftermath of the September 11th attacks, specifically the assurances she made that the air around Ground Zero was safe to breathe. As a gesture of goodwill to the Palestinians, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert said today he will release 250 Palestinians in Israeli prisons who are members of Fatah. He made the announcement at a summit in Egypt with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and the leaders of Egypt and Jordan. A dispute over the $25 million in frozen North Korean funds has been resolved. A North Korean spokesman says the country is now ready to shut down its main nuclear reactor as part of the agreement. A judge in the District of Columbia today ruled in favor of the owners of a dry cleaner that was sued by an administrative law judge for $54 million because of a pair of missing pants. He was also ordered to pay the defendant's court costs. One of the Marines who raised the American flag over Iwo Jima during World War II, Charles Lindbergh, has died at age 86.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distant guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
A new medical study finds that a highly drug-resistant staph germ is more widespread than previously thought. At least 30,000 hospital patients in the U.S. reportedly have the dangerous bug at any given time. Canada has unveiled its first ambulance capable of transporting obese patients who weigh up to 1,000 pounds. It has a wide stretcher and a mechanical lift. The New York Times reports that a shortage of tuna in Japan is causing some sushi chefs to look for alternatives such as deer or raw horse meat. Today, the World Bank's board unanimously approved Robert Zoellick to be the group's next president. He takes the place of Paul Wolfowitz, who is leaving on Saturday after a controversial two-year tenure. The National Association of Realtors reports that the inventory of previously owned homes up for sale hit a 15-year high in May. The trade group also says that sales of existing homes dropped last month to just under 6 million. That's a four-year low. According to the Lundberg survey, the price of gasoline across the U.S. has dipped below the $3 a gallon mark for the first time since April. Light sweet crude is trading at $69.18 a barrel, and at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 8 points, the NASDAQ was down 12 points, the S&P 500 down 5. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are at 6 minutes past the hour on a Monday evening in late June. Broadcasting live from the Head On Radio Network sauna. And I can't tell you how happy I am to be with you. The weekends are long. The weekends are long, I tell you, long. And as my favorite analogy for the weekend is the quote from that greatest of Americans, Samuel Langhorne Clemens, who wrote in the Diary of Adam and Eve in regard to Adam's diary always says on Sunday, pulled through. Pulled through. So that's what we do on the weekends until this day rolls around. Of course, it's going to be a weird little week because tomorrow we go dark. Just like many internet broadcasters all across the country, I wish I could say all. I don't think it will be all. But, you know, that's one of the problems of the labor movement or any other movement, is it's always hard to get it's like herding cats. It's like pushing a wheelbarrow full of frogs to get everybody to get on board. But we're on board for the National Day of Internet Radio Silence. Because it's the right thing to do. So starting after what we hope will be Peter Godbold's Strictly Confidential, the second week thereof, beginning tonight, and I got to tell you, it's a little bit dicey because more thunderstorms are rolling through Peter's area, and he's having, they whacked his internet, and now his power's been whacked, and it just doesn't look good. But there's 3 hours for the intrepid workers of Florida Power or whoever supplies the juice to Peter Godbold and for the fine folks that supply his internet. They got 3 hours to get it fixed. We're going to cross our fingers. But, you know, it is what it is. When you operate on the cutting edge of technology, sometimes you get cut. And that's what's happened. So we will or we won't. But anyway, long about whenever Peter's show ends, we'll go dark, and we won't turn the lights back on, figuratively speaking, until 10 a.m. Eastern Time Wednesday morning. We invite you and everyone who can to come to the headonradionetwork.com chat room and coordinate your activist activities, your activism, if you will, tomorrow. We will be calling senators, we will be calling members of Congress, and we will be pushing for the salvation of Internet radio. And on a larger scope, we will be pushing for the protection of the First Amendment, because these really are First Amendment issues. In essence, the Copyright Royalty Board is attempting to tax, for all intents and purposes, Internet radio out of existence, because just as they, the lawyers are much better at destroying than they are at sustaining. And it's one of the faults and failings of the legal profession. So that's for tomorrow. Now, I mentioned the First Amendment. when we wrapped up on Friday, I said, hey, remind me, let's talk about this business about Dick Cheney deciding that he's not a part of the executive office and declaring the executive branch and declaring himself as such. And so much has gone down over the last three days that it may be impossible to get to that. Because there's just so much stuff going on. You've got some Supreme Court decisions that came down today, a couple of which directly impact the First Amendment. You've got the expansion of the Dick Cheney story. I would assume that many of you have already read the Washington Post lengthy article on Cheney's vice presidency that came out. I guess it was Friday, was it? Saturday? Friday. And it's the first in a four-part series, so it's only going to get better. And, you know, there they are, the Washington Post. Johnny on the spot! 7 years later, 6 years later, finally getting around to reporting about what a thug Dick Cheney is. Can the Duh Award go to the Washington Post? You know, back when this would have actually been helpful, they were rah-rahing an illegal war and a more illegal occupation. But, you know, hey, you know, at least... Oh, what do you say at your kid's soccer match? At least you tried. So that's kind of where we are. It's creepy stuff. One person who sent the link to me noted that the Washington Post article had given him pause to wonder if Cheney would give up power when their term ends. And also in the story, and it's all, you know how it is with me, it's the little stuff. Toward the beginning of the story, it says, nothing could have made it clearer than what happened when Dan Quayle met with Dick Cheney to give him his advice on how to be a vice president. First of all, that's, you know, you can't get past something like that without a full-on giggle. Dan Quayle, advice, how to. Yeah, well, I guess that starts with don't go to South America and tell them you wished you'd spent more time studying Latin for your trip to Latin America. Don't tell people that potato has an E on the end of the word. But there was a little telling detail, and for me, that's where the devil lives, in the details. But in describing the meeting with Dan Quayle, they went to Quayle's office to interview him, and it says, and in Dan Quayle's corner office in a building on Park Avenue in New York City at the Cerberus Group, .. And I was reading, and I backed up, at the what? Who? The Cerberus Group? And of course, because I was just much like Achilles being dipped by the heel in the river Hoosis to keep him from ever being harmed, I was dipped by the heel in Greek mythology as a kid. I went, Cerberus? Multi-headed dog? Multi-headed junkyard dog that guards the gates to Hades so that people go in but they don't come out? That Cerberus? And then, ding. Wait a minute! That's the private equity firm that just bought Chrysler. Wow. It all comes together and consolidates, doesn't it? Is Cerberus the new Carlyle Group? Does the Carlyle Group have an interest in Cerberus? But there sits former vice president, potato with an E, Dan Quayle, a senior vice president of the Cerberus Group, a private equity fund. Now, if you've seen the interview with Andy Stern and Bill Moyers, I caught it online. I think our good friend Cindy sent me the link. You know that Stern, who is the president of the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, Stern is warning that private equity firms are the thing to keep an eye on in the coming decade because they have absolutely zero accountability. It's not like they're, you know, they're a private equity firm. They're not traded on Wall Street, so the Securities and Exchange Commission has absolutely no jurisdiction over them. No one has jurisdiction over them. They operate as a law unto themselves. And there sits Dan Quayle. I wonder if his secretary has explicit instructions always to spell potato with an E. Just for Dan. Or do they just have the spell check set up so that any time the word potato is used, they find a synonym, spud, so as not to confuse the former vice president. But, go read the Washington Post article on Cheney. It will give you the fandods. It will give you cold chills to see the way this man has acted, and he has gone about the executive branch basically in the dark with a cloak and a stiletto, and just quietly put the shiv between people's ribs that found themselves in disagreement with him. The account that the Post gives to the attack number, the hatchet job that Dick Cheney did on Colin Powell, is just astonishing. And among other things, there is cause to believe that Dick Cheney, when Dennis Kucinich first introduced his bill of impeachment against Dick Cheney, I kind of went, what? As usual, Dennis has proved himself one of the smarter guys in the room. Dick Cheney is an autocratic monster. Never mind. Let's leave for the moment. Leave out the details of his having basically ordered the slaughter of 750,000 civilian Iraqis. The way he has operated inside the executive branch structure poses a grave threat to the Republic as we understood it before January 2001. Go read the article. I'm not kidding. And, of course, there's this business of him saying that he's not part of the executive branch. That's not exactly correct. What he has argued is that he is a hybrid, just like a Toyota Prius. And that because he is the vice president and second in the line of succession, Or he's like Miss America's first runner-up. Should the president prove unable to perform his duties, he's got that executive branch function, but he also serves as president of the Senate. And so he has argued that he is not technically a member of the executive branch. You got that? I don't got that. I mean, that's crazy talk. For one, as president of the Senate, he almost never fulfills his duties. It's always the president pro tem or the designee of the president pro tem who presides over Senate matters. But Cheney's argued that since he's not fully inside the executive branch, that executive branch rules don't apply to him. And then when the group that was tasked with making sure that the law was being obeyed with regard to the national security documents objected, how did Dick Cheney respond? Dick Cheney responded by trying to have the organization destroyed, disbanded. Now, I know that it's just so doggone hard to watch this conduct and not do the Nazi analogy. You know, with the Enabling Act, when Adolf Hitler consolidated power into his own hands, he started just disbanding government organizations in Nazi Germany. John Ashcroft, who was a weirdo and a freak and a dude who poured Crisco oil over his own head and was scared to death of calico cats and put a bathrobe on the Statue of Justice, that freak, this guy keeps popping up as actually having been one of the more reasonable, sane members of the first Bush administration. And you have no idea how it grieves me to say something like that. Oh my God! But Ashcroft found out that one of the lawyers down beneath him in the Justice Department had actively worked to circumvent a law and keep Ashcroft out of the loop. And he went in and he had a 75-square-foot purple polka-dotted blue screaming hissy. And Dick Cheney basically told him to go piss up a rope, which he did. At which point, when you find out, and this is stuff that's happening, these events are happening within a month, 2 months after 9/11, and they're affecting Condoleezza Rice, who it turns out was incensed. She had to go like somewhere and play a piano really loud with the stiletto heels of her Ferragamo pumps or something to get it out of her system. Colin Powell was hotter than a $2 pistol over it. Ashcroft was angry. And yet they are all such dedicated, soulless SOB ideologues that none of them would stand up, look the American people in the eye, and say, there are bad things happening in the White House. I will not allow myself and my legacy and my image to be tarnished with this garbage. I quit. Not one out of the whole stinking, soulless bunch of them, not one would stand up for the Constitution of the United States. Not one. That's heartbreaking. That tells you there is nothing, literally nothing, that a Republican will not do to maintain power. Was it Liddy who said that he would run over his own grandmother in the street back in the Nixon administration if Richard Nixon told him to? Or kill his grandmother or something like that? Well, that sense of mafiosi-like loyalty extends to the present time, and it is a peculiar feature of Republicans. They will fight to the last person. They will stay in the trenches, anything to stay in power and influence. Now, the White House has a new story out saying that marijuana, now bear in mind this is the White House saying it, marijuana leads to violence among teens. A new study, this according to Channel 8 WKBT, which I think is in Wisconsin, A new study from the White House is linking the drug to violence and even gang membership.
Huh? What?
And it comes out of the White House. It's not from any scientific organization. It's not from any medical organization. It's, it's out of, it's out of some office in the White House. I don't know if they consulted Dimebag Laura or not. The study says while fewer teens are using illegal drugs, they're trying marijuana at younger ages than ever before, sometimes as early as 11 years old. It also says smoking pot makes it four times more likely that a child will become involved in a gang. A gang! Oddly enough, they haven't done a study at the White House yet to determine what joining the Republican Party or the young high school Republicans does to a kid. Wait, that's a gang. And they're probably, being hypocritical Republicans, smoking dope. But no, there's nothing, no new reports from the White House about what the addiction to power will do to the people of the United States, what the addiction to power, the unyielding quest for power over other people and influence will do to a republic teetering on the brink of fascist dictatorship in the first place. No reports from the White House out about that. At the Cooley Council on Addictions headquarters. Why do I think this is a faith-based initiative? Experts talk with teens who have been caught with marijuana or alcohol. They say it's normal for kids who do drugs to form their own groups and then continue their self-destructive habits. You know, I'd like to laugh at this. I would. I really would like to laugh at this. Rita Pfaff from the Cooley Council on Addiction says, if teens do become addicted to them or feel they need drugs, they run into situations where if they do not have them, they're going to do what they deem necessary to get them, whether it's steal from parents, steal from friends. You know, I don't want to get personal here, but I never saw that happen. I'm not going to give anything away, but I've got very good friends in very high positions these days who were serious stoner kids during high school. You know, nothing really makes Boyle's gas laws more fun than... Well, never mind. But this is just a bunch of craziness. Now, there's a reason that this study is out when this study is out. It coincides with something that may take up the better part of our time this evening, and that is the decisions handed down today by that gang of right-wing thugs that passes itself off as a judicial system, namely the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court of the United States.
I'm so wasted!
Yeah. Yes, you are, Judge Alito. Oh, illegal drugs. Get me another cocktail, would you? Oh, I loathe them. I tell
what
you
are you people? On dope?
I think they are. I think this is all cover. I think Clarence Thomas and Alito and Scalia and Roberts are all sitting there horking on a number going, dude, look what we did today. We took away students' rights here.
You dick!
Mm-hmm. So that's where we begin this evening. And you are welcome to join in the conversation. You know the phone number, 304-658-5453. Or, if you need us to pay the freight on the phone, call 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email comes into bob@headonradio.com. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Get
Dude, I love this tune.
Coming Tuesday, June 26th, the Head On Radio Network will go dark. I believe this is the right thing to do, and the Horn feels very strongly that an attack on one segment of Internet radio constitutes an attack on all Internet radio. On the day of the standdown, Head On will keep the chat room open, so pop in to show your support. Try to imagine conversation radio without music. I know I can't.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweats. Great prices? No sweats. Great looks? No sweats. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm getting so sick of hearing people try to minimalize what's going on. And China's up to it now, too. This idea that, you know, we're going to try and make moves, but not at the detriment to our economy. Hello! How many times do I have to say this? No planet, no economy. No planet, no business. No planet, no commerce. Drives me absolutely insane. And like I said last week, we have George W. Bush pressuring the G8 to soften their language while at the same time making public statements to tell the G8 to get with the program. Excuse me? What bloody planet are you on?
Join me for Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Moving to 10 a.m. weekdays, Monday, June 18th, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Those people I know.
Oh!
Okay, that's either Blink 182 or Fountains of Wayne. Nope, neither, Bob.
No.
Who is it? I don't either. But there's my favorite line in that whole song, though, is when there was still music on MTV. Oh God. Oh yeah. If only she hadn't partaken of the evil weed, maybe she wouldn't have wanted to dance on some Whitesnake's car. Oh, the humanity. Let's go to the phones. David's calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome aboard.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm all right. Not to say a bad joke, but I dropped the gay bomb on Bob.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you didn't check your mail?
No. What?
Well, then.
When?
I get the joke. I sent you a whole bunch of Marvin Gaye stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I got that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm a little o-slay on the uptake, eh?
Yeah. Well, first things first, Zombie Coulter was supposed to be on the Tom Hartman show.
No.
Yes. And Tom was really hitting it hard and saying, well, she's going to be on to talk about Godless or whatever. And they were supposed to have a debate. And even her publicist or her manager or whatever, her party assistant, I don't know.
Her apparatchik.
Whatever it is, she kept calling back in every hour and saying, or every half hour saying, Zombie Coulter will be on. Well, not Zombie Coulter, but...
Man Coulter.
Yeah, she kept saying, well, she'll be on in a half hour. She'll be there in 15 minutes. So, and you know what? This isn't unusual people. This is her status quo. This is how she treats a lot of people in the media. And again, this has to do with her.
And she was as big a no-show as George Jones on a bender, right?
I mean, but how lame do you have to be to have your assistant call and say she'll be there, and then they don't cancel or anything?
Well, she finally figured out who Tom Hartman is. She'd never heard of him before, and realized
Maybe.
She was going to get her ass handed to her. But then again, I love Tom. Tom's great at what he does.
Yeah.
But what possessed him to want that freak on his program? I know he likes to debate Republicans. I know he likes to debate right-wingers.
Tom's problem is he always has this rainbow outlook that there's something that somebody where he could bring on Satan and there'll be something that they agree on or something.
Oh.
A flesh-eating zombie.
Oh, is this like what I was saying the other night about maybe I could golf with Rush Limbaugh and we could share a good cigar? Is that what that is?
Something like that, but you know, I think it has to do with, you know, he's overtly optimistic. He came out of the whole 60s. You know, he came from. I'll chalk it up to a different generation. I mean. He was,
okay, well, I get that, but let me press the question again.
Yeah.
What I said before, David. I know he likes to talk to Republicans. I know he likes to try to reach consensus and common cause. I know the guy has a patriotic streak that's like 90 miles wide, okay? He truly loves this country far more than any Republican, I do believe. But of all the Republicans you could get on the program, why would you book Mann Coulter? I mean, there's nothing's going to come of that. She's a harpy. Is a harpy. Just, you know, a bottom feeding maggot.
You know what I think it has to do with? I think it has to do with once you get into that matrix, just cutting it to the bone right here, Bob. It gets right to the point of you got to have those ratings. And once you show your ratings, Bob, see, this is how messed up the business is. Once you show your ratings with anything, you have to maintain that level. So I think, you know, Hartman's at this point where he's maintained a level. He's not in Oregon anymore. Like, he's not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, but he can still... No. Well, I know, but I'm... You know, it's like... Well, I got another one for tonight. William Donahue, okay?
Yeah.
William Donahue is the fat, white, pasty, bald, doughy version of Ann Coulter. Why do people keep going to William Donahue for some sort of authoritative statement on what it means to be Roman Catholic?
I wonder that, and I don't have an answer for it other than I think it's, you know, it's a rating spiker. When you create some kind of outrage and you're a sensationalist and you're a cultural sensationalist, this is what it comes down to, people. When you're a cultural sensationalist and you need a rating spiker, to get some attention for that day in the week, to get over that hump, you're going to go to that person. And that's just, and it doesn't matter if you're from Air America. And you know what, Bob? Someday, you may have to do that as well.
Nah.
No.
No.
Never?
No.
Never say never. I mean,
no, this is one I'll say never on. If it gets to the point, that, see, this is where I'm taunting, okay?
Yeah. Okay.
This is me saying, please don't throw me into the briar patch.
Right.
I see no point in manufactured outrage. Now, once upon a time, in the bad old days of buggy whip terrestrial radio, when I was on over in Beckley, these right wing goobers would call me up, and you know, want to scream, and usually they got, you know, they'd get nasty with me and then I'd get nasty with them, and apparently people just love that. Because every, you know, look what happens when a fight goes down in a at a ballpark or something. Do people run away from the fight? No, David, they run to the fight because they want to watch the fight, because they get vicarious pleasure out of seeing somebody knock the snot out of each other. It's why we go to football games. It's why we go to wrestling. We enjoy that. And the same thing applies to manufactured outrage on television or radio. Fortunately for me, I don't ever have to worry about being on television.
Well, like I said, I can't. I mean, I know people get ill over it like that, but, you know, it doesn't affect me. It's just like you have to do what you have to do once you're on that radar, whatever.
But he, you know, I can't.
I mean, you know, here's the guy who schedules Ann Coulter and Michael Medved and, you know, all of these people. He'll have on Gore Vidal, and, you know, he'll be playing excerpts of Teddy Roosevelt. So, you know, I respect the guy completely for going with most of his vision and the fact that he.
Please don't. I'm not trying to offer any disrespect to Tom Hartman. I think the world and all of Tom. Not that Tom sits around nights going, Jesus, I wonder if Bob likes me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even a fly in the frog pond. Okay. But
it's all perspective, man.
But what I'm pointing at is there are real people you can have a real debate with. Ann Coulter is not one of those people. You know, you can bring on one of those hardcore libertarian, Ayn Rand worshipping weirdos from Cato or Heritage or any of those other groups, American Enterprise Institute, and you can have meaningful policy debates with them. I've done that a couple of times.
I think the problem with that is you get to the list and you see the reality of it, of how many people, and it gets to be the same people. Over and over and over.
Well, then that's the fail. That's a failure in the publicity department, because you go and you find interesting people. That's what I do here.
I mean, what I'm talking about from the opposite side. I mean, of course you can get all kinds of progressives from all stripes and colors. But what I'm talking about is when you get to the whole Ayn Rand, the inner world of the Ayn Rand objectivist. You know, from the Cheney neoconservative. From that side, the ultra conservative, the anti-immigrant, all of that, the Lou Dobbs on steroids, all of that. I mean, you get to a small paltry list.
Well, there's that, David, and the other side of that coin is the fact that they're getting scarcer. Okay, they're going into hiding. I've gone out a couple of times and looked for a couple of wing nuts to bring on the program. They're hiding. Okay, they don't want on. They'll happily go on Shaughnessy and get their rear ends kissed. Okay,
right.
They'll go on O'Reilly or the Wiener or any of these other freak shows, and that's what they are. But they don't want to go on and have an honest dialogue. Ann Coulter can't have an honest dialogue. Had she shown up on Hartman's show, I doubt it would have been 30 seconds into her first remark before she would have accused him of slaughtering his mother. Or making babies smoke dope, or, you know,
something like that.
Or yeah. Declared that, you know, she wished a bomb would go off in his building, and that, because that's her shtick. And that's the thing, it's shtick. There's nothing legitimate about it. It's not real. She is a clown. Okay, all she needs is the big red nose and the floppy shoes, and in time she'll have them. It's not real. It's wrestling. And what I worry about is when you bring those kind of freaks on a program that you try to keep legitimate, then you basically have just gone, you've just gone to the mat and delegitimized yourself by engaging in the wrestling match.
You're always going to have that struggle with sensationalism.
Sure.
you know, it's like it's like how we paint Bush and Cheney. We paint Bush as the biggest moron, and then we can't really have, and then there's no way to have a serious discussion about it because, again, it's like, well, he's just stupid and he's a moron. That's why.
But see, that's what differentiates this program, David. I don't think he's he's stupid and a moron.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
And he's a moron and he is evil. Okay, it's the evil part.
Oh, that's
you know.
The difference. No, yeah. I mean the real question and the real dialogue and the real conversation is there's something there in his ideology. It's beyond the moronic behavior and all of that. There's something, or there's something not there. And it's this question of do we really know who? I don't think any of us really know who this guy is.
I don't think he knows who he is.
Oh, I agree with you there. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the guy was a schizophrenic.
I wouldn't go that far, David. But I think he's been so pre-programmed, and there's. Oh, wow. Here, let me run off into territory. I have absolutely no credibility on whatsoever. He has been so pre-programmed, he has been so defined by others, that he has never had to sit down and wonder who he himself was. And what did Plato say? The unexamined life is not worth living. Well, there's a life that hasn't been worth the living. It's been he's never had an look, the neglect in his early years. You know, he was raised by babysitters. His mother and his father were just disconnected from him, and basically made what we're having to deal with today. I mean, George Bush isn't just a study in a bad presidency. George Bush is a study in failed parenting.
He's the warm up act to the impending apocalypse of doom.
That too.
Before I go, I wanted to mention a quick story. Chinese activist. This is off BBC, by the way.
Okay.
Courtesy of GNN. But anyways, Chinese activist beaten in jail. A leading Chinese human rights activist has been severely beaten in jail by other prisoners because he insisted on his right to appeal against his sentence and refused to allow his head to be shaved. Now, what makes this even more brutal is the guy was blind, people. He was blind and they beat him.
That's tough.
I know, and I mean, but looking at it from...
Hey, they're great to trade with, aren't they?
Oh yeah, they're
don't good. They make some great crap?
You know, and this is something that I look at and I say, I'm not going to badmouth the Chinese or anywhere or demonize them because I know that's exactly what the right wing mouthpieces want you to do.
No, I have no interest in that either, David.
Yeah,
my interest is not in demonizing because. The Chinese people are entitled to our pity. All right, they live in a capitalist dictatorship gone absolutely wild. There are cities there where at high noon it looks like it looks like twilight because of the filth of the coal smoke. Okay,
right.
They lose 10,000 miners a year in their coal mines. The Falun Gong sect there has been. It is alleged now that Falun Gong are sent to mental hospitals, so to speak, and that they are literally vivisected and have their organs harvested and sold on the black market. This is no regime with which we should be proud to do business. The individual Chinese people, it's heartbreaking. And yet the only thing we hear is, you know, they can't have a Bible.
You know, Bob, I think it also comes down to the fact that you look at something like that and then you have to ask yourself and you say, well, how close are we to this or are we there yet?
Well, that's the point. We've lost our ability to even say, mutter so much as a timid peep about it because we have flushed our own record on human rights down the toilet with Iraq. We've flushed them down the toilet with Gitmo. We've flushed them down the toilet with illegal wiretapping, with the elimination of habeas corpus, with the spying on, for God's sakes, vegans and Quakers. It's all gone now. So we don't. There is no moral high ground in Washington, D.C. anymore from which the president can mount his bully pulpit and look to the Chinese and say, listen, you know, we know what's going on and it's not worth it to us. Just forget it. We're not going to do business with you, okay? Because, there's the other side of that coin is also, David, the fact that the guy who would otherwise mount the bully pulpit, the President of the United States, has hung so daggum much bad paper in China that we can't afford to complain to them about how they treat their weak, their weary, and their wounded.
It's also...
because they'll bankrupt us.
It's also because we this country does love monsters. Well, the administrations do. And... We always like doing business with monsters because then we have a reason to invade and torture them.
Well, there's that, but it's also always easier to do business with fascists than it is to do business with left-leaning governments. And if there's anybody who thinks that the People's Republic of China is a left-leaning government, if there's anybody left on planet Earth who thinks that, apparently, I don't know, maybe Bush's marijuana study was right and they're just real high and violent or something. Because they're not. The People's Republic of China is an experiment in rampant laissez-faire capitalism run absolutely sprayed roach crazy wild.
Before I go, one thing, Tom Hartman did redeem himself by not having Zombie Coulter on, but he had another guest on today, Scott Ritter.
Oh, Scott,
for his new book about how anti-war activists can succeed,
mm-hmm.
And I guess he takes the approach of the Art of War and Lao Tzu and his approach, and he stated brilliantly a lot of the failures that we have as from organizing, strategizing, and I just think if people want to check the archives at White Rose, they should go and do so, because I thought it was a really informative interview. And I think his next book, even though it's not about Iran, it has something that we all can take from.
Good deal. Thank you very much, David.
All right, Bob.
Have a good evening.
Later.
Later. And Susan. Hey, Susan. Welcome to the program.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
Well, not bad, considering the Supreme Court has just informed me that while I am good enough to pay to have somebody shove their religion up my nose, I'm not good enough to protest it.
Right. Yeah, it's still,
I don't have
yeah, it's still in the staff.
Standing.
Yeah, that's and the bong hits for Jesus story are truly the stories of the day, aren't they?
Yeah. I kind of wonder if they're going to take that attitude. Does this mean that I can go down to the Crystal Cathedral in California and hold a Shabbat?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. However, you're free to try to get the White House to introduce a faith-based initiative for Wicca.
Oh, yeah, right. In my dreams. As far as the so-called study from about the marijuana, the only thing somebody on grass is lethal to is munchies.
Yeah, Cheetos.
Yes. Chips, Twinkies, things like that, those are in deep, deep trouble. I got to tell you, when I was a teenager, I never smoked dope. But I did run around with Hell's Angels.
Well, there's a little difference there. Maybe those are the gangs the White House is talking about.
It wasn't until later on that I tried, after I got married, that I tried grass. I found out with my whacked out metabolism, it doesn't work.
Well, and I remember well the conversation I once had with a police officer friend of mine. I said, who would you rather arrest, the drunk or the high guy? And he goes, oh, give me the high guy any day.
Yeah, he's just going to sit around there with a silly grin on his face and say, cosmic.
Yeah. whereas the drunk dude is, come here. Yeah, I'll fight you.
Either that or he's barfing up his toenails all over the back of the car. There is, was one serious thing that I did want to mention.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody has come right out and named the 100-pound gorilla, but I'm gonna.
Okay.
Dick Cheney has pulled off a coup d'etat.
What, why do you say that?
Read those articles.
Well, okay, I did. Why do you say
he
that?
He has taken over the government. With what he's done, he's set George up as a puppet, and he's taken over the government.
Well, the Washington Post article is pretty explicit in trying to sort of not create that impression. But I think you could make that argument based on the fact that he circumvented the Justice Department, he circumvented the Pentagon, he circumvented the State Department. The story of the signing of the order on the treatment of detainees is harrowing. Nobody within the channels of I mean, the Bush administration, every presidential administration sets up its own channels of how stuff works. You know, it'll be vetted here. So-and-so will see it next. Then it goes to you know, chief of staff, whatever.
And he just kind of went around it. That's why I think it's a coup d'etat. But besides that, if Cheney, has anybody thought of trying this? If Cheney declares himself not a part of the executive branch, fine, serve him with a subpoena.
That's a lovely thought, and it's kind of in line with something, and it was a little bit smart-alecky, I admit, but it was still charming to see. Late last week, Rahm Emanuel announced that he would introduce legislation this week to withdraw funding for the vice president's office from the budget appropriation for the executive branch.
You mean Rahm Emanuel did something I approve of? Wonders will never cease.
Oh, yeah, he produced a flow chart that showed it said branches of government and had alliances, executive branch, legislative branch, judicial branch, Dick Cheney. You know, it's strictly a it's for show. It's
sure,
but
I honest to God think Waxman ought to hit him with a subpoena and let him sit there and claim executive privilege. That will end it right there.
That's the thing, though. End what?
End his little thing about not being part of the executive branch, because it's either one or the other.
Well,
if he hands him a subpoena and says, raise your hand, you're not part of the executive branch.
Well,
the only problem,
though, Susan, is that anything touching upon a subpoena ultimately only ends at the Supreme Court. And we've got a pretty doggone good idea after today, don't we, how those things get resolved.
That's what I'm saying, though. In order to go into the Supreme Court, he has to declare one way or the other, I am or I am not covered by executive privilege. Now, you know, if he's hit with a subpoena, he's going to claim privilege. And
sure,
that will end the question right there by his own actions.
Okay, I can live with that.
So I think Waxman ought to hit him with a subpoena. It'll force him to put this whole thing to bed. Take it to court, say, hey, I'm part of the executive branch. You can't, whoop, I thought you said you weren't.
I'd like to see somebody serve him with anything. But you can't get close enough to serve him. And they won't accept service on his behalf. I don't know. I don't know that you call it a coup, because a coup is something that is done, you know, hostily. He hasn't done a coup on the executive branch. It's more like he has neutered the entire Constitution.
To me, that's a coup d'état. You've taken over the government.
Well, maybe it's just like his relationship to government. Maybe it's a hybrid, Susan.
Well, let's just hope to God, like
Vice President Prius. Thanks, Susan. You have a wonderful evening.
You too. Good night.
Bye now. Oh, there's creepy stuff in that article. And there's enough to talk about for 3 hours. Will we? I don't know. Because there's some other evil stuff floating around out there, too. It's time for the news. Jump in and let's have something to talk about when we come back. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-5453. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Guys dressed in black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, M.I.B., means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't blink, be what was dead is now gone. Black suit with the black Ray Bans on. Walk a shadow, move in silence, guard against extraterrestrial violence.
This is the Quality News Network. Several Supreme Court decisions came down today. The court weakened part of the campaign finance law, ruling that the law, which limits interest groups' ads that are broadcast close to elections, violates the First Amendment free speech rights. In another decision, the court ruled that a group of atheists and agnostics cannot sue the federal government over the Bush administration's faith-based plan. Also, the court decided that schools can restrict free speech that may be seen as promoting illegal drug use. The case involved a student sign containing such a message unfurled during a field trip. The justices found the school's curtailing of this type of behavior is not a violation of free speech. A massive forest fire in California near Lake Tahoe area has destroyed at least 240 structures, 165 of them homes. 1,000 people were forced to evacuate. State officials have declared a state of emergency. Across Iraq, there were at least 5 suicide bombings today. At least 45 people were killed in the attacks. One of them targeted a heavily secured hotel where Sunni sheikhs were meeting to discuss how to drive out al-Qaeda militants from the Anbar province in western Iraq. The attack killed at least a dozen people, including 4 tribal leaders. In unrelated violence south of Baghdad, a U.S. soldier was shot to death. As a gesture of goodwill to the Palestinians, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has said he will release 250 Palestinians held in Israeli prisons. Olmert announced the release of only Fatah party members at an Egyptian summit to help Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. At a press conference with Palestinian, Egyptian, and Jordanian leaders, Olmert said he would work with moderates against terrorists, referring to Hamas. A dispute over the $25 million in frozen North Korean funds has been resolved. A North Korean spokesman says the country is now ready to shut down its main nuclear reactor as part of the agreement. And the World Bank Board has unanimously approved Robert Zoellick to be the group's next president. He takes the place of Paul Wolfowitz, who is leaving on Saturday after a controversial 2-year tenure. One of the Marines who raised the American flag over Iwo Jima during World War II, Charles Lindbergh, has died at age 86 in Minnesota. You're listening to Quality News Network.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The prevalence of a highly drug-resistant staph germ is 10 times greater than previously thought. According to a new study, at least 30,000 hospital patients in the U.S. reportedly have the dangerous bug at any time. Canada has unveiled its first ambulance capable of transporting obese patients who weigh up to 1,000 pounds. It has a wide stretcher and a mechanical lift. Researchers in Peru say they found remains of a giant penguins that lived in the area some 40 million years ago. The penguins stood 5 feet tall and had long, sharp beaks. Paleontologists say the find indicates that the birds reached equatorial regions much earlier than previously thought. And the National Association of Realtors reports that the inventory of previously owned homes up for sale hit a 15-year high in May. The trade group also says that sales of existing homes dropped last month to a four-year low. Reuters reports that Exxon Mobil and ConocoPhillips have rejected a deal to keep a stake in oil projects that the Venezuelan government is now nationalizing. Other countries will likely sign an accord to remain in the multi-billion dollar projects. Light sweet crude is trading at $69.05 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow ended down 8 points, the NASDAQ down 12, and the S&P finished down 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then. One down, two to go. And into the stack we dive. I want to point something out to you. This is not exactly breaking news, but it's worth mentioning. And it's in part of a it's part of a larger issue. And we talk a lot about the media on this program because the media are largely corrupt in this country, the so-called professional media. And I was reading today, have you followed at all this business of the Rovian attack, the political prosecution of a man named Don Siegelman, former governor of Alabama? Have you followed this at all? Are you familiar with this story at all? It turns out that the entire prosecution of Don Siegelman was a ginned up political harassment, certainly worthy of Stalinist Russia or Maoist China. And in reading about it, I read, I think the name of the blog is No Comment over at Harper's.org, Harper's Magazine. And the person writing it was talking about the newspaper coverage within Alabama about this story as opposed to outside Alabama on the story. There's an affidavit out now, you know, sworn testimony about how Karl Rove cooked this prosecution of Don Siegelman. And it's complicated. I'm hoping at some point I've been engaged in one of those, you know, email back and forth kind of things to get somebody on who has followed this with a certain amount of depth and can really give life to the details of the story. But at any rate, in reading this blog at Harper's, one of the things that the author there did was to take a look at the coverage of the Siegelman trial as evinced in the Birmingham News and the Mobile Press Register. And it was laughable coverage. It was as dummied up and ginned up as Karl Rove's own prosecution was. And I mention this because there was a follow-up. Oh, dear me. Let's see if I can find this. There was a follow-up to the story that I ran into today that is fit to sort of make your hair stand on end. It's getting pretty ugly. Essentially, what has happened is, wow, the woman who basically blew the whistle on the prosecution has received rather typical treatment following her disclosure. This comes from a blog called Corrente, Corrente. It's at CorrenteWire.com. And it also references the Harper's story. CorrenteWire.com. Rovian Justice is the name of the blog. And he says, go read this if you want to learn just how Rove wants to use the legal system to settle political scores. Of course, I've always felt that Alabama was really a third-world banana republic run by the sort of folks who belong in John Grisham novels, but I digress. Okay, well, you know, as an Alabamian, maybe. Okay, I'll take at least part of that. He said, and apparently it would have all worked perfectly, but Dana Simpson, a Republican, had to open her mouth and blow the whistle. So now the Rovian mafioso-like intimidation begins. Listen to this. Tell me this doesn't sound like Maoist China or Stalinist Russia. The response to Simpson's affidavit has been a series of brusque, dismissive statements, all of them unsworn, from others who figured in the discussion and the federal prosecutor in the Siegelman case, who has now made a series of demonstrably false statements concerning the matter. She's been smeared, Ms. Simpson has, as crazy and as a disgruntled contract bidder and something nastier. This is, you know, I know that people out there say, oh, you know, you guys are over the top. You describe them as monsters and killers and war criminals. You know, they're just Americans that we disagree with, Bob. You need to come a little closer to the center and stop being like they are and calling them names. After her intention to speak became known, Dana Simpson's house was burned to the ground and her car was driven off the road and totaled. And, of course, the author of Corrente says, national media? National media, where are you? This sounds like something you might want to look into, perhaps. Maybe. Bueller? 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 They burned her house down. See, a long time ago, I coined a phrase for dealing with these punk-ass thugs. I called them the Stump Licker Bunch. Because way back when, after Lassus Macon, the dregs would be left in a hollowed-out stump, and bees would fly to it, and there'd be yellow jackets around it, and flies, and ants, and ugh. But it would sit in the hot sun of the south, and it would ferment into a vile, kind of really bad, drunk, evil, mean, nasty sort of a beverage. And you get just blind, crazy, mean-ass drunk drinking stump liquor. And these are those people. These are the kind of... here, you want another analogy? Go get your collected works of William Faulkner and read about the Snopes Clan. Go read a short story called Barn Burning. This is how, in the Deep South, threats are handled. Burning down Dana Simpson's house and totaling her car is on a par with a barn burning or night riders, lynchings. And it is still among some circles, mainly right-wing, mainly Republican, certainly political, an acceptable way of dealing with one's political enemies. Just disappear them. And I've got another... We talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago about a Bush nominee for the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, by name Leslie Southwick. Well, the vote on Southwick's nomination in the Senate has been delayed again. according to our friend Chris Crom over at Facing South, southernstudies.org. Why was it delayed? Well, mounting concern over Southwick's record, Crom writes, and judicial philosophy. Ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Arlen Specter, sought the week's delay in the vote. Now this, if you've forgotten, this is Leslie Southwick, former retired judge from the Mississippi Court of Appeals. This is the guy who upheld the reinstatement without any disciplinary action whatsoever of a white state employee in Mississippi who was fired for calling a black coworker a good old nigger. Just saying that word in a journalistic context turns my head inside out, and there are people. Oh my! But environmental groups are on board too now, not just civil rights groups. Well, hooray! Little golf clap to the environmental groups. Every once in a while, we take a little step forward on Bob's Progressive Manifesto. And that Progressive Manifesto, for those of you who have forgotten, is we will make progress as progressives and liberals when the women's rights groups understand that their issues are environmental issues, and when the environmentalists understand that their issues are gender equity issues, and when the gay community understands that their issues are civil rights issues, and when the civil rights people understand that their issues are First Amendment issues, and when the religious, the people who are opposing the religious intolerance and the theocracy, when they understand that their issues are animal activism issues, we'll take a step forward. So good on the environmentalists for jumping on Leslie Southwick too. Southwick has proven himself hostile to federal laws protecting the environment, as well as women, senior citizens, minorities, and disabled. According to an analysis by the Alliance for Justice, Judge Southwick voted in whole or in part against the injured party and in favor of special interests such as corporations or insurance companies in 160 out of 180 published decisions involving state employment law and torts cases in which at least one judge dissented. Okay, now we got some detail there, right? You understand now why even Arlen Specter is trying to delay the vote on this goon. Okay. Now, I told you about how the coverage was with the Birmingham News and the Mobile Press Register on the Rovian political slime in Alabama. Well, let's go to the Mississippi Clarion Ledger. Now, Chris Crom's coverage there from Facing South was more than adequate in letting people know what the holdup is on Judge Leslie Southwick. Here, on the other hand, is the coverage from June 14th by Ann... Oh, damn, it's bifocal time. Ann Radelat of the Clarion Ledger Washington Bureau. I'm going to read you the whole story. Don't worry. An anticipated vote today on the nomination of Mississippi Judge Leslie Southwick for a seat on the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals was delayed for the third time because of controversy over his record. Senator Arlen Specter, the ranking Republican on the Senate Judiciary Committee, sought a week's delay in the vote. Southwick, a retired judge of the Mississippi Court of Appeals, has come under criticism by a number of civil rights and human rights groups. That's it! Nothing about why. God knows we wouldn't, there at the Mississippi Clarion Ledger, they wouldn't want to be informing Mississippians that that George Bush has nominated a man to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals who is, you know, he's down with the use of that word. Probably uses it himself. Frequently. Judge Leslie Southwick, White Courtesy Phone. Judge Leslie Southwick, White Courtesy Phone. And you wonder why things are the way they are? Hell, I'm surprised the Mississippi Clarion Ledger story didn't refer to... let's see, how's it read here again? Let me get it here. Hold on. See if it wasn't a real story from the Mississippi Clarion Ledger. I couldn't do that. Southwick, a retired judge of the Mississippi Court of Appeals, has come under criticism by a number of civil rights and human rights outside agitators. There, that's how they wanted it to read! So that's that. Journalism in America. Feeling good about it? Yeah, me neither. Some of this is from the catch-up stack from last week, and it's already dated. There's the follow-up to Mrs. Jimenez, who still is not getting any relief. And, by the way, Diana Engstrom of Illinois, wife of an Army contractor, learned she might be deported after her husband, Todd Engstrom, was killed in Iraq in September 2004. Though Engstrom, a native of Kosovo, entered the country legally, her husband died before the government officially recognized him as her sponsor. And they're going to kick her ass out of the country. Charming, isn't it? On and on and on. Such a little... Okay, well, let's take a break. I'm going to gather my wits, and we'll hit what needs hitting. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
I'm a little bit rusty, and I think my head is caving in. And I don't know if I've ever been real hello. My hand is well, I feel like something's gonna give. And I'm a little bit angry, well, this ain't over. No, not here. Well, not while I still need you around. You don't hold me with my chain. Yeah, we just might feel good. I wanna push you around. Well, I will. Well, I will. I wanna push you down. Well, I will. Man, I will. I wanna take you for granted. I wanna.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs name their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by your man.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Yeah, my name is Billy.
This is Billy Shears. Join us this Friday at 10 a.m. on Foxed Up with John Fox.
We're going to slow it down a tad and take a look at another Billy, Billie Holiday. You're not going to want to miss this one. Miss Holiday talks about her nickname, how she developed her style, and a great, great duet with Satchmo.
Promise to me you'll dream a little dream of me.
Oh, yeah. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
I could just sit here and listen to this. But then again, the Recording Industry Association of America might have a hissy. That's why we're going dark tomorrow. Never mind the fact that you hear 15 or 20 seconds of that and think, you know, I need to go buy that. Never mind, as I've mentioned, the fact that at the time that they were attacking Napster, record sales were higher than they've ever been. They killed Napster and record sales plummeted. You know, whatever. The silk stocking ivory tower lawyer types are trying to destroy internet radio. Not by imposing royalty rates similar to what a radio station pays. No. There are some internet radio stations that'll be paying 1,000% because of this copyright royalty board decision. Who appoints the members of the copyright royalty board? They just decided, you know, that internet radio has to go. You can't have people just out there playing music for other people. That's what the terrestrial buggy whip radio is for. You listen to what they want you to listen to. So this is all a very thinly veiled attempt to kill free speech in America. Because, you know, a playlist is speech of a sort. I remember once in the early days when Fourth Estate Radio was still going on Saturday nights, we used to have a high old time after the show would end at like 1 a.m. And I'd sit there and just play music for a little bit. Shh, don't tell the RIAA. Or the Copyright Royalty Board will be on me like stink on poop. So we'll be going dark at midnight, or, well, actually at 11 probably, right after Peter's show. Everybody cross your fingers that Peter will get his series of tubes up and his power back on. Ugly thunderstorms down there this time of year. I just don't understand why thunderstorms knock out one's DSL. For the life of me, I don't. But we went through some of that. We've been through some of that from time to time. It just takes it down. And it's part of the reason we're changing services here fairly shortly. So it will be dark because, well, internet radio is fun. And it's not a threat to anybody. It's free publicity! You know, because now that music is 99 cents a song, you can run over to iTunes or any other place and buy a song if you hear it. And then it's yours. You've got the file. Nobody's interested in having the groovy artwork anymore. Nobody's interested in... Because I remember when the artwork on an album was a big part of buying the album. I spent days with the cover to The Wall, reading all the credits and who did the voiceovers and stuff like that in The Wall, Pink Floyd. You know, where the bimbo, there's that word, sounding girl comes into the room, she's... No, that's what she's made to sound like. She's a group. Okay, the groupie.
Thank you.
The groupie comes into the room and says, "Oh, wow, are all these your guitars? You want to take a bath?" You know who that was? Tony Tennille. And I only got that from the reading, in the really teeny tiny print on the album cover. Nobody wants that anymore. Album art is gone. Album art is over, for the most part. The generation coming behind me and the generation coming behind them see music as a computer file, which is kind of logical because it's auditory. It's not physical. So vinyl or CDs or cassettes or God knows 8-track tapes don't matter to them anymore. It's a computer file that goes on their MP3 player, or it plays on their computer, or it plays through their stereo system. After all, that's what it is. It's what it is on a CD anyway. And so the idea that somebody would be out there, and we're talking non-profit people. We're talking about people who don't charge for their stream. We're talking about people who aren't making a dime off of it. I mean, if all this was so bad, there's nobody out there who quite knows how to make a buck without ever being on the radio. There's two or three. Fish was very good at it. The Dead were past masters at it. Jimmy Buffett is very good at it. Do you think for an instant that if internet radio was bad for Jimmy Buffett, that Jimmy Buffett would have Radio Margaritaville up where you could stream that Sirius radio channel 24/7. I sat here doing a bunch of work over the weekend, just happily listening to live clips from Jimmy Buffett songs, Jimmy Buffett concerts. I'm a parrot head, okay? I know some of you hate that. There's even Jimmy Buffett purists out there. Oh well, if it's after changes in latitudes, it's really no good. So. They're the Church of Buffett Orthodox, I think, is what it's called, COBO.org. I don't even know if they're still online. But if it was truly dangerous, he wouldn't be doing it. If it was cutting into sales, he wouldn't be doing it. And there are people out there. We've made some friends through MySpace. A lovely young lady with a beautiful, beautiful voice and gorgeous instrumentation and musicianship around her, a lady named Will Maring, whose music we've played from time to time. She was more than happy to have us play her music on this show. I don't think Will's going to have any jackbooted RIAA thugs on my door because she wants people to know that she's out there making music, because she understands that when they hear it, they'll go buy it, or they'll want to hear more of it, which only makes sense to me. But still, the lawyers are much better at tearing down than they are at building up. They're much better at destroying than they are at creating, and they'd rather flatten the wave of the future than ride it. So all day tomorrow, we're going to be spending our time contacting senators and congressmen. We'll be in the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. Join us. Join us. And go to savenetradio.org to find out what you can do to help in this fight. Because let me tell you something. If they get their way on music, and they get to shut down internet radio, they'll come after us. They'll find some reason to say that we don't need to be on the air, because, again, this is about you having the freedom to hear what you want to hear in America. There will be a reason to shut down, oh, I don't know, how about your access to BBC Radio? You know, we're listed at Receiva.com, we're listed at Phonostar.com, we're listed at iTunes Radio under Spoken Word. I know if you go to Receiva.com, among other things, you can get BBC Radio. Do you really think the Bush administration wants you listening to BBC Radio? Do you think the Bush administration wants you listening to this program and getting told day in and day out what a gang of monstrous thugs they truly are? So the way we look at it, we can stand up for internet music radio, because, by God, if we don't stand up for them, there won't be anybody to stand up for us, and it's that little German poem all over again. And when they finally came for me, there was no one to say anything because everybody else was already gone. So do your part tomorrow, I implore you. I'm very sincere in asking you to do this, because the radio network you save may be the one that you're listening to right now.
And if you don't do it, we'll have to sing every single bumper, and you really don't want that.
A one, a two, a one, two, three. No, I'm not going to sing. But that's what's on the line here. Is it worth it to you? I mean, I know we have an activist core of listeners. What I'd like to see tomorrow is a whole bunch of people whose names I've never seen before showing up in the chat room to say, listen, I live in this state, and I've contacted Senator so-and-so and Senator so-and-so, and my congressman is so-and-so, and I've written him or her. That's what I want to see. There aren't a lot of times when you get a real opportunity to make a difference. This is one of them. Ah, Bob, it's just internet radio. It's just your right to freedom of expression and to having put and to having available to you what you want. That's all. Hey, maybe you like contemporary hit radio. Maybe you like hearing the same six stinking pop bubblegum garbage every blessed hour. Maybe you like that. So, you know, country music fan, maybe you like hearing what focus group country says you want to hear. If you do, don't bother. But if you like the whole broad tapestry, the full panoply of the musical experience, get with it. Sermonette is over. Okay, moving on. Speaking of freedom of expression, you know what's coming next. Every time a new right-wing, over-the-top activist judge case comes out, I just want to scream. Because that's what these people are. All this time, the activist judges are going to let the queers get married. No, activist judges are going to take away your freedom, and they're not going to be put on the bench. Sunshine, they're already there. With names like Alito and Roberts and Thomas and Scalia and Kennedy. They're already there. So a few years ago, the Olympic torch was passing through Juneau, Alaska, and this kid, who one of those smart kids who's always thinking of smart things to do, he's off school property. And he unfurls a banner. Is there any sense in me doing this story? You already know it. He unfurls this banner that says, "Bong Hits for Jesus." Again, he was off school property, and this uptight, anal retentive high school principal comes storming over and confiscates his banner. And her ostensible reason when queried on it was that it was promoting the use of illegal drugs. It was illegal drugs. Now, you and I both know that the real reason she confiscated it was because it was suggesting that the bong hits be given to Jesus. Would she have rushed across the street, clacking along on the low heels of her sensible shoes quite so quickly if it had been bong hits for Bush? Well, maybe, because most Republicans equate Bush and Jesus. Or used to. Before they turned on him because they didn't feel he was sufficiently hateful to brown people enough on the immigration issue. But if it had said, bong hits for Charlie Brown. Bong hits for... Which, I don't think so. It was the Jesus. Of course, they didn't dare say that in court. It was promoting illegal drug use. Oh, I get it now. I get it. It all makes sense now. Never mind, I was all wrong. The Supreme Court got this one right. There was a kid named Jesus in the other kid's high school class. And they thought, and the principal thought the banner was about giving marijuana to Jesus. No, that doesn't work either. Principal Deborah Morse confiscated it and suspended young Joseph Frederick for 10 days. And everybody out there kind of thought this was a no-brainer. Well, you know, he was off school property, it's free speech, he's 18 years old, he's an adult! All of us who thought that? Wrong. Judge Roberts today, supported by Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, Breyer, and Sammy Alito. Breyer? Said that students have no free speech rights. Now, I remember what a nasty little radical I was in high school. And I know pretty much, you know what I'd love to see tomorrow? Of course, I don't know if high schoolers these days have this kind of gumption. Tomorrow, I would love to see everybody show up at that high school, every single student wearing a t-shirt that says Bong Hits for Jesus. Suspend the whole school, Principal Morse. No guts, no gumption. Ain't gonna happen.
Sorry, it's not about guts or gumption.
What's it about?
The police are going in and handcuffing 5- and 6-year-old children because they're out of order. What do you think these kids are going to get?
Tasered.
Possibly. It's not about guts or gumption. It comes down to the point that the fear factor is just overwhelming in our country, don't you think? Kids are afraid in school. They're afraid of the bullies. They're afraid of the administration. You know, who do they have to turn to? Not this lady.
Well, they turned to the ACLU, and the ACLU couldn't even get to it.
She committed assault.
Yeah, she did. She committed a battery on the boy. She should have been charged with a crime.
So you tell me, they go to school in this, what can she do to them then? Behead them? I mean, yeah, that's a little much, but you know what I'm getting at there.
Well, what's clear And it's clear from another case, something else I've got in the stack. And this one will go up as well, and this should be rather depressing news for these children as well. Wilton, Connecticut. You ever heard of Wilton, Connecticut? Well, if bong hits for Jesus, if a jackbooted Nazi like Samuel Alito and John Roberts can't see that bong hits for Jesus is protected speech, I'm guessing the kids from Wilton High School in Wilton, Connecticut aren't going to have much luck either. You know about this one? Wilton, Connecticut High School. The kids there were involved in writing a play. And for the life of me, I've lost the dadgum story. I'll find it. The play they were writing was about the Iraq War. The play they were writing about the Iraq War at Wilton High School in Wilton, Connecticut, used the actual words from actual soldiers. Nothing was made up. It was quite real. There it is. The name of the play is Voices in Conflict. They were forbidden to do the play on school grounds. They worked their butts off on it, and they were forbidden by the high school principal, Tim Canty, who has no business being around children. He demanded that he be given early drafts of the script. In other words, he acted as the official censor of the play. This isn't some weirdo right-wing fundamentalist high school. This is a public school. Again, letters, interviews, and blog posts of soldiers in Iraq. He saw the early scripts and he just flat canceled the play. You may not perform this. Now, as we go through this story, I want you to think about this story in the context of the bong hits for Jesus case. Because remember, the kid in the bong hits for Jesus case was off school property. Bear in mind, the bong hits for Jesus case means that if a kid has a t-shirt in Juneau, Alaska that says bong hits for Jesus on it, and he's seen by the principal wearing it at the mall, that kid can now be suspended from school. That's what this means. And it has rather dire consequences for the hard-working, arts-oriented, moral, upright, decent children of Wilton High School in Wilton, Connecticut. Because this thug, this censorious First Amendment-loathing thug, Tim Canty, the principal at Wilton High School, when he canceled their play, some organizations heard about it. The story was covered in the New York Times. And First Amendment advocacy groups, First Amendment lawyers, anti-censorship groups, and some of New York's most renowned theaters started calling. And Mrs. Dickinson, the theater teacher, or Miss Dickinson, or Ms. Dickinson, I'm not sure which, and her theater students returned to writing the play. And they finished the play, and inside the play they incorporated the story of what they'd been through with Principal Canty. and then they took their show on the road. They were not allowed to perform it at Wilton High School. But they have presented it at the Vineyard Theater and the Culture Project and the Public Theater, all in New York, and at the Fairfield Theater Company in Fairfield, Connecticut. Oh, by the way, why did Principal Canty cancel the play? He said he was concerned about bias. It's not fair and balanced. He was concerned about plagiarism. Insufficient context. And potentially offensive material. It's potentially offensive. You know, when they use a phrase like potentially offensive, you know they're hiding another agenda. It's like when Fox News says, "Well, Senator, some people say..." You know, it means they don't have the guts to stand behind their own words. Tim Canty, the principal at Wilton High School, is a brazen coward. Craven coward. Not brazen. Craven. He's a craven coward who won't stand behind his own desire to censor the work of his students. Later on, he backtracked and he said he was afraid that the play might offend Wilton families who had lost loved ones, who had individuals serving as we speak. We must worship the military. Isn't that one of the 14 defining characteristics of fascism? An almost worshipful fascination, deification with the military? Moreover, isn't that how we got Abu Ghraib? Isn't that how we wound up with Gitmo? Isn't that part of how we wound up with Bush and Cheney? Unquestioning adherence to authority? I get the idea that some of this got started because of a junior at Wilton High School named Gabby Alessi Friedlander, whose brother is serving in Iraq, and she complained to Canty about the script and said on Good Morning America, quote, "I at least view educating people as presenting both sides to a story and not just reciting word for word all the negatives. I'm all for showing all the sides, but not just one. They're not showing the happy things that are happening in Iraq." Well, Gabby, darling, maybe it's because there aren't any. Maybe it's because when you try to compare, a soccer field with a little baby with its skull caved in from an American bomb, the comparison really doesn't work so well anymore. Now, you know, Principal Canty was concerned that there might be plagiarism issues or lack of proper citation or bias in the play. Bias! The National Coalition Against Censorship reminded Principal Canty that found text is a legal doctrine and that it's frequently used in dramaturgy. The Stamford Advocate newspaper wrote, and I quote, "It's not the job of a play to present all sides of any issue. Art often takes a position." One wonders what the balance would have been in Hamlet. That we need to give Claudius's side of why he assassinated the king? Is that it? Where's the balance? What's the balanced perspective of Oedipus? You know, it's like Fox News. You know, six right-wing freaks on the other side of the street against 200,000 war protesters. You don't say both sides came out to protest and leave it at that. You know, Oedipus is a story about a guy that, you know, the thing. What are you going to do? Present the balanced, unbiased the version of Oedipus where it's okay to murder your father and father children by your mother? I'm saying no. So the play was presented, and it they were given a trophy by one group, the Wilton High School Theater Department. It was an award. It was something given by the Public Theater in New York City called Courage in Theater. Oh, I'm sorry, from Music Theater International, and that's lovely. But remember, remember, please, that under the Bong Hits for Jesus decision, and the name of the case is commonly referred to as Morse, M-O-R-S-E, under the Bong Hits for Jesus decision, a school a school principal now has the unlimited power to punish a student for conduct off site. Now, see, most analysts of this case say that it's a very narrowly tailored decision. Judge Alito and Judge Roberts were very clear on this. They said it only applied to advocacy of illegal drug use. But you see, once one exception has been crafted out, it becomes ever so much easier to craft the second exception. And the second exception makes it exponentially easier to craft the third. The third exception makes it very simple to craft the fourth. And the fourth exception makes it a no-brainer to craft the fifth. Until it's nothing but exceptions. It's turtles all the way down. And that is the slippery slope that you hear referred to. That is the camel's nose under the tent that you hear referred to. The teacher, Bonnie Dickinson, has sought out veterans, especially the veterans who are depicted in the play. The students have received standing ovations. Now, here's the interesting part. Bonnie Dickinson is probably going to lose her job. The school board has an action pending against her for producing this play with her students, even off school property. Guess what? They just got the green light to fire her. They just got the green light to destroy her. Anybody want to sing the national anthem? How about a verse of God Bless America? Do you find this as sickening as I do? Does this tell you that it's over? Does this tell you that these thugs who sit on the Supreme Court loathe, detest, and despise the First Amendment unless it is being used to advance some theocratic religious agenda? And I know, maybe some of the more moderate Democrats are tired of hearing me say it, but every time I see a decision like this come down to which Samuel Alito has been a party, I can't help but get a sort of churning, sick feeling inside my belly when I remember the cowards in the United States Senate who laid down and rolled over to get their bellies scratched by the Bush administration for caving in on Samuel Alito and John Roberts, Samuel Alito in particular. I believe Samuel Alito will be a guardian of the First Amendment freedom of religion.
I have received letters from all over my state from people saying they don't want this kind of negativity in a fight over Samuel Alito. I've received handwritten notes with coffee cup stains on it. And this stuff couldn't be made up because they come from different places and don't know each other. Aw, you idiot. It was a coordinated campaign by the religious right to pressure you into putting a fascist thug on the Supreme Court. And now you have sown the wind and you are reaping the whirlwind. Go ahead and take that Constitution out of your pocket you're so fond of carrying around with it. You peed all over it with your vote to confirm Samuel Alito. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. State officials have declared a state of emergency near Lake Tahoe, California, due to a massive forest fire. The blaze has destroyed at least 240 structures, mostly homes. 1,000 people had to evacuate. The fire started Sunday afternoon. Authorities believe people started it, whether by accident or intentionally, isn't known. Several Supreme Court decisions came down today. The court weakened part of the campaign finance law. The ruling allows wide latitude to such groups and their ability to advertise close to elections. In another decision, the court ruled that a group of atheists and agnostics cannot sue the federal government over the Bush administration's faith-based initiative. That initiative encourages faith-based groups to apply for federal grants. Also, the court decided that schools can restrict free speech that may be seen as promoting illegal drug use. The student who lost his case unfurled a banner reading "Bong Hits for Jesus" during a school field trip. The justice has ruled the school's curtailing of this type of behavior is not a violation of free speech. Across Iraq, there were at least 5 suicide bombings today. One blast gutted the lobby of a heavily secured hotel where Sunni sheikhs were meeting to determine the course of action for driving out al-Qaeda militants from the Anbar province. The attack killed at least 50 people, including 6 tribal leaders. In northern Iraq, 27 people, 13 of them policemen, died when a suicide attacker rammed a fuel tanker into walls surrounding a police station. And as a gesture of goodwill to the Palestinians, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has said he will release 250 Palestinians held in Israeli prisons. Olmert announced the release of only Fatah party members at an Egyptian summit to help Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. At a press conference with Palestinian, Egyptian, and Jordanian leaders, Olmert said he would work with moderates against terrorists, referring to Hamas. This morning, Hamas militants posted an audio tape on the Internet of kidnapped Sergeant Gilad Shalit speaking. Shalit was taken captive on the Gaza border a year ago. A Hamas spokesperson said it was up to Israel to make a deal to free him. And the World Bank has unanimously approved Robert Zoellick to be the group's next president. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up.
If you're a news junkie, there's a book you must read called Don't Mess with the Press, How to Write, Report, and Produce Quality Television News. Don't Mess with the Press is a textbook for journalism students and a handbook for people already in the business. While written primarily as an instructional guide, Don't Mess with the Press is also useful for people who follow the news closely, who want to understand how news decisions are made by quality reporters to ensure they get the best news coverage possible. Don't Mess with the Press was written by Tony Seaton, founder and executive producer of the Quality News Network. Tony began his broadcast journalism career in his teens, eventually covering Watergate, 6 elections, 5 space shots, and a wide range of general news. He also produced Barbara Walters' news interviews for ABC. Ordering information for Don't Mess with the Press can be found at qualitynewsnetwork.com. Visit our website and click on the Don't Mess with the Press link.
Researchers in Peru say they found remains of giant penguins that lived in the area some 40 million years ago. The penguins stood 5 feet tall and had long, sharp beaks. Paleontologists say the find indicates the birds reached equatorial regions much earlier than previously thought. And the prevalence of a highly drug-resistant staph germ is 10 times greater than previously thought. According to a new study, at least 30,000 hospital patients in the U.S. reportedly have the dangerous bug at any given time. The National Association of Realtors reports that the inventory of previously owned homes up for sale hit a 15-year high in May. The trade group also says that sales of existing homes dropped last month to a 4-year low. Internet search engine Google's requested a federal judge oversee changes that Microsoft promised to make in its new Windows Vista operating system. The changes were part of an antitrust battle Google waged against Microsoft. And there are reports that an agreement is close between the Dow Jones Company and Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. Both sides are setting the terms for editorial independence. Light sweet crude is currently trading at $69.05 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow ended down 8 points, the NASDAQ was down 12, and the S&P finished down 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Christen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
A little follow-up before we go to the phones. Thought you'd be interested to know what they're tormenting Tim Canty and his school board. What they're tormenting Bonnie Dickinson over. They are holding disciplinary hearings for Ms. Dickinson on counts that include plagiarism, haven't heard one of these since Socrates, attempting to present a biased play, and working on a piece not in keeping with school values. She'll be out of a job soon. They'll find her. Let that just rattle around like a marble in a washing machine for a little bit, until you just really get the full value of it. They're going to bring her up on disciplinary charges in Wilton, Connecticut's school system for attempting to present a biased play. Like I said, not since Socrates. Because Socrates was charged with, waiting for the chat room, Socrates was charged with corrupting the youth. And they killed him for it. Well, we're civilized now. We're just going to take away Ms. Dickinson's means of livelihood. Okay, cool. Attempting to present a biased play. Now, bear in mind, Ms. Dickinson, in order to combat that charge of bias, she included a statement by L. Tammy Duckworth, former Army helicopter pilot, who lost both legs in the war, and says, quote, "This is a pretty good life compared to what it could be." And even in the script of the play, the person playing her says, "Plus, they make prosthetic high heels." Tammy Duckworth really said that. Everything in this play is something that somebody really said. But of course, it's the students when they're out of character that say the best things, that say the things that mean the most. Cameron Nadler is a junior in that high school and an actor in the play, and he said, "Most of this cast can vote in the next election. If they don't think we're mature enough to do a play about Iraq, why should we vote?" watch your mouth, Nadler. Now that they've got the Morse Bong Hits for Jesus decision in hand, they'll bust your ass, boy. They'll bust your ass. Bonnie Dickinson, you are charged with attempting to produce a biased play. What's next? God only knows what the art department's like there. No nudes! Now, here's what they hate. Lines like this. Corporal Sean Hughes, played by Seth Kaprosky, speaking to the audience, says, and I quote, "Taking fire from that general direction, there are 50 fucking people there. It's one guy shooting at us. You know we can't find that one guy. Fucking kill everything. Lay down fire there. Suppression fire. Area target. Blanket the fucking area. It works." You know, we can't have children learning the language that soldiers really use. You know, and granted, there's no dirty words in it, but Navy veteran Charles Anderson, played by James Presson, asks, quote, "If I have nothing to be ashamed of, why can't I sleep?" We charge you with attempting to produce a biased play. Tell me, somebody, wouldn't I love to have a copy of the Code of Conduct for Teachers in the Wilton School District that says that contains that charge, thou shalt not produce bias? See, this is where it's really hard to do this, because you can't not do a story like this and not go Nazi. This is fascist. This is fascism. This is everything that our framers were trying to avoid when they created the First Amendment. The language of the First Amendment is very plain and easy to understand. It's goobers like Sammy Alito and John Roberts who make it complicated. Let people say what they want to say. These children weren't yelling movie in a crowded firehouse. They were just doing what theater does, attempting to understand the world in which they were soon to be thrust. You gotta wonder. I mean, it's a high school in Connecticut. And you know the recruiters show up there. You know, the military recruiters trying to get those kids to come and fight in George Bush's filthy little occupation in Iraq. See, I didn't say war. I said occupation. That's what it is. It's an illegal occupation. And they're coming to that school, and you know what? They're not telling kids about post-traumatic stress disorder. They're not telling kids about the profound risk of death. They're not telling kids about the way the VA dummies up is dummying up military files so that they don't have to pay benefits to the people who come back if they don't get killed or maimed, come back mentally shattered. They're not telling... Oh, wait a minute! They're presenting a biased view of the military! What the hell are they doing on the Wilton, Connecticut high school campus? But they're not going anywhere. But Bonnie Dickinson probably is. Far be it for me to tell you to do anything. But you know what? It'd be lovely if Tim Canty actually got to find out what a chicken shit he is. I'm sure they've got a fax machine there. Telephone. Let's, speaking of telephones, by the way, if you want to read the detail on this, it's at The Nation. It's an article by Emily Douglas, posted online on the 21st. TheNation.com. Look for voices in conflict. It's one of those things that lets you know that, I mean, there's a place for something like the Nation. Let's go to the phones. Kevin is calling from D.C. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. I can top one better than that plate. In Fairfax County, Virginia, they have a rule for zero tolerance of physical contact between students. A kid got in trouble for giving someone a hug.
No kidding.
I am dead serious. It was on the news, on the D.C. local news the other day. Where Fairfax County, which is one of the more enlightened areas, so I thought, in the South, but obviously you cannot shake a student's hand and you cannot hug, cannot give a high five or anything like that.
Wow.
And you can up to 5-day suspension.
Jesus. Where do we, Kevin, I'm tempted to say, where do we live? What is, because I sit here in this constant state of amazement every time I think they've gone as far as they can go, they ratchet it up one more notch.
Yeah.
This one will get the people's blood boiling. This will pull the people of the United States out of their stupor. Wrong again.
It comes to a point where it's just, and then according, to the school committee or the school board, they're saying, well, how these things can get out of hand and fights can occur and all that. It's like, obviously they think, all the kids are mentally unbalanced where they're going to hug each other first, then beat up one another.
Well, maybe hugs are a gang sign.
Or maybe
when they're hugging, they're passing on their illegal drugs that are going to make them violent, according to the White House study. No, I'm being a smart aleck, Kevin. I know it. No, this is about the enforced isolation of the individual.
Yeah.
We don't want people connecting with one another. And besides, if you start hugging, the next thing you know, that whole abstinence only policy goes right down the window. And since the kids haven't been taught about condoms or birth control pills or anything else, they'll have to install a daycare center in the high school.
Yeah. But, I tell you, our country is becoming a fascist state. Or it's not becoming, it is a fascist state.
Yeah.
If I was this kid's parent, I would go ballistic. I would. I really would. Something that should be encouraged, shaking hands and hugging one another.
Yeah. Whatever happened to hugs, not drugs?
Yeah. Well, that's gone.
And is this a school-wide or a school district-wide policy, Kevin?
School district-wide, Fairfax County, Virginia, probably one of the wealthiest, most liberal counties, in Virginia.
Yeah, because that's D.C. basically.
Yeah, this is what gave Webb his senator seat.
I'm astonished. I'm getting email from people saying, it's time to give up on the public school system. It's time to just start homeschooling all our kids. I disagree with that.
I disagree with that, too. Homeschooling.
But most people aren't competent to homeschool their kids, for starters.
Exactly.
Because
kids need social interaction. Homeschooling is, unless something is truly wrong with your kids, either he has some kind of disease or mental whatever, but they need that social intercourse, for lack of a better word, with the outside world.
Well, I don't believe you give up on the public school system.
I don't either.
I think you have to fight for it, because the idea of a public education was the very cornerstone of the idea of a country that was capable, in which the people were capable of ruling themselves. You get rid of that, you've set up the future of a fascist dictatorship.
Well, there was a time when there wasn't much difference between public and private schools. Now there's a whole world of difference, and I'm sorry to say it, if I ever have children, the likelihood is that I'm going to have to end up sending them to a private school, maybe non-religious affiliated, because the public schools are such bad quality, even in Fairfax County. in comparison to a private school. You know, Fairfax County supposedly has the best public school system in the country.
But please understand that that bad quality is not inherent in the idea of public schools. It's it's bad because that is how the Republicans have tried to make it. They hate the idea of public education. They're four square behind the likes of Jerry Falwell, who once said, "I look to the day when the public schools are all closed and education is back in the hands of the religious community where it belongs."
Oh, yeah. And one thing about these attorneys that are coming out of his university, I'm willing to bet any amount of money when it comes down to them going on trial or them faced with a trial, they're not going to be hiring from their old alma mater.
No, they'll go hire a good one.
Yeah, they're going to go to Harvard, Yale, UVA.
Yeah, well, you know, some really mean, toothy trial lawyer.
Yeah, you know, it's like they're not going to be pulling from their old alma mater.
Mm-mm. What is it, the 144th best law school in the country?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, real prestige. And this other place, Patrick Henry.
Oh, that place is... We could do a whole show on Patrick Henry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's brand new, and it's already just filthy with people in government.
Oh, yeah.
See, these people understood things, and it could be, Kevin, that they understood things better than our side ever has or ever will. It's one thing to get a high-level functionary and appoint one of your cronies, secretary of coffee and donuts. It's another thing to fill up that entire department of the executive branch with people who will follow your ideology.
Yeah.
Because those people become entrenched civil servants, and you can't do a damn thing about them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, that's the thing. You know, it all boils down to liberals believe people are good. And I think that's where our weakness is that we believe in everybody's good, while conservatives believe everybody's just like them, just as sneaky, just as whatever.
Greedy.
Act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever notice, most conservatives are paranoid. And everybody's out to get them.
Oh, sure they are. The secular humanists are out to get our Bibles.
Yeah, they're out to get them, so I'm going to get them before they get me.
Right. Oh, I've got one of those. There's a Catholic priest who threw a hissy before resigning in Boston. He's angry because liberals are moving in next to his seminary.
Ooh.
I kid you not.
Oh, poor guy.
You know, liberals are the new, you know, fill in the oppressed minority, you know, name.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been great hearing from talking to you again.
Oh, Kevin, it's always a pleasure, my friend.
Okay, then.
You take care now.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And on to our good friend Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob.
Hello, my friend.
How are you?
I'm wondering if the world would end if I took a bong hit for Allah.
No, he can't have any either.
Well, guess what? Allah is God. God is Allah.
And made the bong and made the stuff that went in it, too.
Yeah, you're dang right. They're all the creator, are they not? Hey, every religion has its faux pas or faux pas or... Okay, like you said. Okay, it's all poo-poo, but it stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it smells like poo-poo.
This smells like fascism to me.
Yes, it does. It smells like fascism. How do you make all the American children, all the children of America, become fascists? Well, you torment them. You do what Hitler did, or George Bush, or George Bush is Hitler, or Hitler is George Bush, or they're... Hey, wait a minute. Didn't Prescott Bush support Hitler?
Yeah, he did.
You stop and you think for one just Jesus moment and realize these people have been working on this, Bob, since the 1920s. These fascists of America have been working on it since before Roosevelt ever rose up to be the President of the United States, back in the dirty 30s, back when the stock market crashed on the, what was that, the September, October, one of the October surprises that the fascists gave us way back when? If you look at this nation, at the United States of America, and you realize we have been beset by these people before. They have been in our background. I mean, you kind of always back there digging dirt. I mean, like that song goes, look at all the dirty little piggies digging up the dirt. You know, they're always running around Washington, D.C. in nice clean shirts or something like that. Anyway.
Well, this particular, you know, the Bong Hits for Jesus case, Bob, the dissent contains something very, very, well, it's Justice John Paul Stevens, for whom, if I was much of a praying man, I would pray for his continued existence every day, because his life is all that stands between us and, and the completion of the fascist overthrow of the court. What he wrote about this, he said, and this makes so much sense. Tell me if this sounds like crazy talk to you.
Okay.
This case began with a silly, nonsensical banner and ends with the court inventing out of whole cloth a special First Amendment rule permitting the censorship of any student speech that mentions drugs, so long as someone could perceive that speech to contain a latent pro-drug message. Because, again, it says bong hits for Jesus, not bong hits for me or bong hits for the seniors. Or it says bong hits for a dead guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, let me ask you a question.
All right.
Okay. Are you absolutely positive? Do you have evidence? Do you have factual evidence that this individual that you just mentioned in the mentioning of this story existed? And I'll guarantee you, you can't come up with one.
No, you cannot. You cannot prove it. You cannot. You can't even prove the existence of Jesus. No, no, you can't.
You can't come up with. You can't even come up with a hair follicle or a sample of his. No, it's all belief, Bob. And I always said this, and I'll probably get kicked off the air for this tonight. And I said, believe in one hand and take a dump in the other hand and see which one you fill first, okay?
Precisely. Precisely.
You have got it right on the head, and that's why I love Head On Radio Network. If you can't show me any facts, shut up and sit down. And that's what I'm telling the Republicans. Shut up and get the hell out of town, because we're coming.
Well, this principal Morse up in Alaska has no business teaching.
No,
or no business administering a school, because this person, because she couldn't teach.
No.
But she looked at this banner, saw bong hits for Jesus, and is there anybody? Can anybody in their right mind conclude that that is an advocacy statement for illegal drug use? First of all, wait. Because this one just hit me, we're talking about Alaska here. Okay? It is legal in the state of Alaska to possess and to grow marijuana for your own personal use and consumption.
Okay. But, hey.
So at that point, it's not advocating illegal drug use. The young man was 18 years old. He is an adult within the meaning of the laws of Alaska. Therefore, he is entitled to advocate for marijuana use, because even assuming bong hits for Jesus means he's advocating for marijuana use, he is advocating an activity which to adults in the state of Alaska is legal.
Okay.
That's how bass-ackwards, upside-down, sideways, these crazy right-wing fascists on the Supreme Court are. They can't even be bothered to know the law of the state in which they are dealing with the case.
Absolutely. Hey, Bob, it's like trying to figure out, hey, if I'm a Christian or if I'm not a Christian. I mean, I don't know that. Do you? I just believe that there is something in this country that is the foundation that we stand for. We stand for this foundation, and that foundation is the Constitution. It's a GD piece of paper. Well,
that's what George said, yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's a GD piece of paper. No, it is not a GD piece of paper. It is the foundation of this nation. And does anyone really know that George Washington, the founding father of this nation, was an atheist? Does anybody really realize that he was an atheist? He didn't...
He was, well, I would characterize him as an agnostic, not an
agnostic, atheist. He was not a person that believed in a deity.
No, and Thomas Jefferson wrote his own version of the New Testament and pulled out all the magic garbage.
Okay, see how it works?
Sure. Well, wait, okay, Bob, you've opened another door for me. Here's one. What if the young man had written on his banner, "Bong hits for George Washington"?
There you go.
Because, hey, you see...
I'll take one for him.
Well, bong hits for George Washington because, A, George Washington is dead.
Yeah.
And, B, George Washington cultivated hemp, and he left notes on the fact that he cultivated it for smoking purposes as well.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't want to get into the great hemp debate or anything
I'm not a smoker either, Bob. I don't smoke hemp. I don't use marijuana or whatever you want to call it. Hey, change the name, call it the old TCP or whatever. Okay? I mean, you know, these twisters of truth, and that's what they do. They're like tornadoes. They go through a society and they twist the truth just like a tornado tears apart a small city or a small town or a trailer park in Alabama or Mississippi. They just rip things apart and they give nothing. They give nothing, Bob. They give us no hope. They give us no peace. They give us no strength. They give us only their version of what they call facts, but they're not facts. They don't back them up with science. They don't back them up with anything. The only thing they do is twist it and twist it like a tornado, something that rips apart a nation. And they're trying very desperately right now because, Bob, they are under the gun. They're afraid. They're afraid of us. They're afraid of the truth. And see, the truth, you know, I love that beautiful phrase, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Freedom, just like...
Yeah, the only problem with that, Bob, is you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The "you" in that sentence is singular. It's not plural. It's not you as a group. It's you as an individual.
You as an individual, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And I know that you and Agnes, and hundreds of thousands, if not hundreds of millions of people on this planet, know the truth, that this too shall pass. It will pass. We may not live to see the end of it, and the only thing we may do is stand and stand I must, and stand I will. I'm standing right now in front of a window looking out on North Dakota. And I'm looking out there, and I see green, beautiful fields. I see all kinds of the beautiful earth. But I know this. I know this inside of me, not in my heart, but in that part of me that I would call, or you may call, my soul, that we are not the end all to be all. We are the beginning of the end of the Bush administration. They're so afraid of us that they attack you on every step of the way. You're not even encouraged support by your listeners. The only thing you're given by your listeners is, I'll call you from time to time. Well, I'm asking you. I'm looking for that button, that beautiful PayPal button that says push here.
Well, it's going up in due time. It's going up as soon as we can get it done.
Well, get it done. I'm waiting on it, son. I really am.
I appreciate it, Bob. I sincerely do.
And I want the world to know we have to support liberal talk radio with the same kind of vengeance that they put on us. The Republicans have been attacking, and the fascists, the Nazis, the whatever you want to call them, but they are not. They're not decent human beings because they don't care about Bob Kincaid as I do. They don't care about Bob Kincaid like Agnes Kincaid cares about Bob Kincaid. They don't care that your voice is more important than any other voice on this planet because you speak the truth, and they hate that more than anything else. One thing that a Republican hates more than he hates a Democrat is the truth.
And God, what is it? It's a fact, and it's a sad fact, Bob.
No, it is a fact. I don't give a hoot in hell if you meet it. I was just chatting with my dear darling's therapist here today, and I was talking about some people called the Cathars.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sure.
And I've
the Albigensian Crusade.
Yeah. Before the Nicene Creed stole all of Christianity from the Christians and turned it into something vile and vulgar. But most people, Bob, are not students of the past. They're students of themselves. And all they study is like that. Well, okay, here's one. And the monkey chases tail around a flagpole to see its arsehole.
Yeah.
And that's all it saw. And that's what these monkeys are doing. They're chasing their own tail around that same flagpole, and they're running up the flag, and they're wrapping themselves in it as they're running around that flagpole. Well, I'm tired of that flagpole, and you know what? I'm getting a little bit tired of listening to these people talk about how patriotic they are. You know,
what wonderful
warriors for the truth they are when they are liars. They are thieves.
No, I know, Bob. I got sent an article from I may have gotten it from MakeThemAccountable.com, or someone may have sent it to me. MakeThemAccountable.com is a wonderful, wonderful website.
Yes, it is.
Carolyn Kay runs that, and she's just a dandy. Fox News Hounds recently identified on the Hannity program, Hannity's America. You know, the guy actually came out and blamed Hillary Clinton for the Iraq War. He called it Hillary's War.
Really?
No kidding. You talk about truth being kryptonite to a Republican.
Good.
You know, they were in love with this war, and now the shine's even wearing off for Hannity, and he realizes he doesn't have to do quite so much. Butt kissing for George Bush. So now George Bush isn't even responsible for the war anymore.
You know what really bothers me?
What's that?
They don't have Bill Clinton to kick around anymore, so now they got to kick around somebody that wants to be the president of the United States.
Well, that
Bob, think about it. Hillary, for all of her worth and her unworthiness and all of her worthiness, she is not the president of the United States, and she had no way of at the time causing this thing to happen. So even in the most addle-brained, drug-addled, foolish, even the most insane of insane bodies or minds could this corrupt thought come from except from a Republican? Shit, you can't blame it on Bill anymore. Let's blame it on Hillary.
And the last 8 years just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Hey, Bob, we got to roll along, brother.
All right, well, thanks. Faith and hope and maybe we all live through this to see the end of it, but I don't think we will. And so, hey, batten down the hatches and full steam ahead, and look out for torpedoes.
All of that. Thanks, Bob.
Love you much.
And later.
And
bye.
To Ken, love.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. I've got a couple of email messages here. One from our friend Marty. Marty says, I think one thing that needs to be pointed out, what the corrupt five were basically saying is that when in school, and who knows, maybe outside of school, like you just said, kids have no rights. Just obey. Time to start homeschooling. And see, that's where I take a little bit of an issue, because how the right wing got its filthy mitts around talk radio because we weren't paying attention and we thought, nobody listens to that. Those people. And now all of a sudden we're going, it might be a good idea to have a talk radio network. Well, they did the same thing with homeschooling. Go look. The vast majority of texts that are available out there for use in homeschooling, and it's a huge industry, by the way, are done by creationists and right-wing religion industry publishing houses. Most of the people who would homeschool their children aren't competent to homeschool their children. Most Americans are too busy working, among other things, supporting those children to keep them at home and school them. And there has to be some rigorous formal instruction. Some of this stuff you can't pick up by osmosis. That's the purpose of elementary education, is to teach you the stuff that you just have to learn by rote and have to deal with. B comes after A, C comes after B. You just have to... There's no theoretical way of teaching it. Some of this crap just has to be learned by rote. And if you've got an instructor who can make that halfway enjoyable, you've won half the battle. But the vast majority of homeschooling materials are created. So, I don't know, maybe if we get left-wing homeschooling materials created, then it's a possibility. But, oh boy, have we got a job in front of us. And our friend Cindy advocates the same thing. Vote down, homeschooling is the way out. Vote down your local school funds for sports and activities and homeschool your kids. If we give up on the public school system, if we just give up on everything that we decide that the Republicans have hopelessly corrupted, then we're done. Because sooner or later, after it's, I know, this is West Virginia. Most high schools are life support systems around here, and God knows it's the same way throughout the South. They're life support systems for football and basketball teams. I know that. I mean, my God, it's a minor miracle that Wilton, Connecticut has a drama department and has a drama teacher. Because arts education is constantly under attack. It's the first thing to go when money gets tight. They never ask the football coach to take a pay cut, but they'll just outright get rid of the drama department. Because we need people who know how to hit each other, not people who know how to speak to each other. That's what it boils down to. I understand all of that. But if you just walk away from it and go, well, it's dead, it's done for, there's nothing we can do about it, screw it. We'll let the churches take over education again. You know what? I don't mean to talk about money all the time. I really don't. But I would give anything to have the kind of money around here to set up an academy for children who want and need an education and don't need a bunch of religious mumbo-jumbo baloney mixed in with it. Truly liberal arts education. But I'm sorry. The money that's available in West Virginia, largely from corporate donors, largely comes from people that you don't want your children having anything to do with. People like Walker Machinery and Massey Energy and Peabody Energy. And they're not going to fund an educational system that will take a child whose eyes are already open and open them even wider. They're not going to do that. You get the idea. we give up on the public schools, that is probably the ultimate sign that we have given up altogether. Meanwhile, our good friend David in Tennessee says the young man in Alaska is 18. The vote is there for him. His death in Iraq is there for him. He should be able to hold up a playful, ironic sign, damn straight. Guess where the young man is now? This was 5 years ago, bear in mind, when he held up the sign. The young man is in China teaching English. What does that tell you? We'll be back. One last story for the night. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Stop scanning that dial, because he's right here, on the horn. And when he comes, it will be music to your ear. I better go get ready. He'll be here real soon.
You are the faith in my car. You light my way in the dark. You are the ultimate star. You pick me up from above.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. The U.S. Senate began discussions concerning the Employee Free Choice Act on Monday with a vote expected to come today. Jesse Russell reports.
The U.S. Senate has been working through a full plate, including last week's long debate on a new environmental bill and this week's discussion of the immigration bill and the Employee Free Choice Act. While all three bills have important parts for organized labor, it is the latter that is considered the most important. If passed, the bill would give unions the ability to organize through card check. Massachusetts Senator Edward Kennedy opened yesterday's debate and explained what the climate for labor has been like over the past decade.
Those in the lowest economic income have been falling further and further and further behind, and those in the top 1% have been going further and further ahead. All of this going at a time when we have seen the weakening of the trade union movement.
A vote is expected today.
As backers push to get the immigration reform bill passed by the U.S. Senate this week, the AFL-CIO says the bill is anti-family and anti-worker. Anna Avendano is director of the AFL-CIO's Immigrant Worker Program. The guest worker program in this bill is one reason the AFL-CIO opposes it.
Every single congressional commission that has studied these programs has rejected them because they are bad public policy. Because in every single temporary worker program that our nation has known and that the entire world has known, workers are exploited under the program. Why? Because employers control the employment relationship.
The SEIU and Unite Here, both with many immigrant members, support guest worker programs, but they want the government to make sure that workers are not abused. The UAW agreement with GM and the bankrupt auto parts maker Delphi would cut wages from a high of about $27 an hour to as low as $14 an hour for some new hires at Delphi. Various buy-down provisions for traditional employees would pay lump sums to a high of $105,000 before taxes in three installments to soften their landing into lower wages and benefits. But the Soldiers of Solidarity group of UAW dissidents opposes this tentative deal. They say it leaves new hires at Delphi with low pay, no pensions, and substandard health care. Soldiers of Solidarity says it wipes out 70 years of gains on wages, pensions, health care, and cost of living protection for UAW workers. Delphi workers will vote soon on whether or not to ratify the agreement. According to Chinese state-run media, more than 2,000 firms operating without licenses illegally used more than 53,000 migrant workers. Hundreds, if not thousands, of these workers were subjected to abuses and enslavement in the illegal mines and kilns. Beijing has prohibited all officials in the city of Linfen from traveling abroad as an investigation begins concerning dereliction of duty. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
C minor, put it in C minor.
Where have all the good men gone, and where are all the gods? Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night, I toss and I turn and I dream of what I need.
I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He's gotta be strong and he's gotta be fast and he's gotta be fresh from the fight. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero.
10 till. Few minutes to finish up. I was going to say, you know, we'll hit some stuff tomorrow night, but we're not going to hit some stuff tomorrow night. I hate being away from the microphone, but we are going dark. So I don't know. Maybe we'll carry some of it over to Wednesday and finish the discussion on. Because we just got one of the screwed up cases. The bong hits for Jesus case was not an anomaly. It's not like, you know, every once in a while they're going to screw up. Every single decision, almost without fail, every single decision this Roberts Court issues, you can bet money on it. If it has to do with freedom or personal liberties, it will be the wrong decision. Now, if there's any way they can angle in some sort of bowing and scraping and kowtowing to the religion industry, that will be the way they go. But if it has to do with individual liberty, personal freedom, anything for the most part that impinges upon the rights of the present government to impose a police state on you and me, that's how they're going to vote. And I do hope you understand that, and I know you do. Our friend Robert from Japan writes, in talking about education and freedom of speech at school, we just had the LDP party ram through its proposal in Japan for gaining even more control over the nation's schools. We were all hoping for more local control and for pushing patriotism, a true love of the nation. I'm not sure where my children, Americans, will fit into this emphasis on patriotism will play out. More singing of the nation's anthem, flags in the halls, saluting the picture of the prime minister. I believe, as Samuel Johnson, the founder of the first English dictionary, patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel. Yeah, it is. Patriotism, at the end of the day, leads to nothing but division and war. So true, so true, so true. And I want to end the program this evening with a bit of a tribute to our good friend Bart Kopp. I don't know where Bart finds these stories, but I'm so glad that I go by and I see them, because I don't know how long it would have taken for me to see this thing. This is from BET.com. Go to Bart Kopp. The link is there. Headline. I can't save this till Wednesday. I can't save this till prayer meeting. Headline. Church skit meant to honor black music ticks off blacks in North Carolina town. The white folks at Pilgrim Baptist Church, it's always the Baptist Church. It's okay, the Methodists a little bit lately, but almost all, it's never the Episcopalians. It's not the Lutherans. The Presbyterians are getting a little, what with D. James Kennedy and his Coral Snake Ministries, but mostly it's not the Presbyterians. It's the Baptists. I forgot to play for you Fred Phelps and the Phelps Tones singing God Hates the World tonight. But we will. We'll save that one for Wednesday. The Westover Baptist Church. The Baptist Church has never recalled the ordination of Fred Phelps, Jr. And they're never gonna, because deep in their dark little hearts, they agree with Fred Phelps. No, at the Pilgrim Baptist Church in Gastonia, North Carolina, they decided they were going to have a night to honor black music. I kid you not. This is not from The Onion. This is not from Betty Bowers. This is real. In the year 2007, the 21st century, the members at the Pilgrim Baptist Church in Gastonia, North Carolina, all put on overalls and flannel shirts and painted their faces black to honor black music. But being white people, they didn't even sing it. They lip-synced it. No, really. They lip-synced it. It was in no way making fun, said the Reverend Thomas Holbrook, Jr., pastor at the church. Lord, no, wait, wait, okay, this is how far out in the field these people are. This is a quote. Lord knows we love the old spirituals, they sang. That's why they did it. That's why we did it. We love them old spirituals. Then there's Stephen York, who was part of it all. He said, I'm not a racist. And I'm not perpetuating stereotypes. Ah, come on. Stephen York doesn't know the word stereotypes. This is what he knows. Huh? This is his quote. God, sometimes you just want to go home and quit. This is his quote. I have some real good black friends. Not anymore, Buster. Not anymore. Not once they see the picture of you in the blackface. Now, I'm sure that this will show up on right-wing talk shows. See, this is a classic case of political correctness. My friends, there's nothing racist in this. These are simple church-going, salt-of-the-earth people who love Jesus Christ and the worship music that's been created by the Negro. And they were honoring black Americans by looking like them. But the liberals will tell you that they're racists. Wait for it. Wait, it'll happen. It'll happen. Now, David Moore is president of the Gaston County Organization for Community Concerns. He said, I have no problem with anyone that wants to sing black music, but to pretend that you're a black person seems to be more of a mockery than a celebration. It's misguided at this time in our culture, in our society. Bless your heart, David. No, it's not. It's not misguided. It's evil, and it's wretched, and it's racist. Now, meanwhile, the idea for the whole thing came from Teresa Holbrooks, who is the pastor's wife. And she says everybody's got it all wrong. She said, and I quote, a little tiny blonde woman sang Randy Travis, so I guess Randy Travis should be offended. My husband pantomime playing the pianer, so I guess the pianer should be offended. One step forward, two steps back. Welcome to Bushmerica, where crime is on the rise. And so apparently is blackface comedy. And yeah, the two do dovetail together. That's it. Coming up next, I'm told the technical issues have been solved. America's only, I tell you, only radio show that divulges the secrets of the homosexual agenda. Strictly Confidential with Peter Godbold is on the way. Thanks, Agnes. Thanks, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. Thank you, all of you who share your time with us. Many thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters who helped us get this network started and are thereby actively involved in saving the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network. The Angora fire, burning 5 miles south of Lake Tahoe, has now charred 4 square miles, destroyed more than 200 homes, and prompted the evacuation of 1,000 residents. Black molten globules of fiberglass and plastic that were once boats sag over their trailers. Propane tanks have become incendiary devices. Only chimneys remain where houses once stood. Hundreds of firefighters are battling what many are calling the worst they've ever seen. Abducted BBC reporter Alan Johnston appeared on an Army of Islam website. In the video, he's wearing an explosives-rigged vest, and he pleads to Hamas militants and the British government to not use military means to free him. A string of suicide bomb attacks killed at least 33 people across Iraq today. Most were Iraqi civilians. The Al Mansour Hotel lobby was obliterated when a suicide bomber approached the front desk and blew himself up along with 12 others. The U.S. military uncovered an execution house in Bakuba. Sources said it had been used by Al-Qaeda. Bodies were buried in the yard behind it. Saddam Hussein's cousin Chemical Ali and two others have been sentenced to hang for masterminding the poisonous gas attacks that killed tens of thousands of Iraqi Kurds while Saddam Hussein was in power. The deputy leader of Al-Qaeda is calling on Muslims around the world to back Hamas with weapons and money, and also to stage attacks on U.S. and Israeli interests. The U.S. military has a $25 million bounty on Ayman al-Zawahiri's head. At the Red Sea Peace Summit in Egypt, Israeli leaders cautioned not to expect much progress on an Israeli-Palestinian final peace deal. In Lebanon, a suspected car bomb killed 6 peacekeepers from the UN on Sunday. Iran has invited the International Atomic Energy Agency to come back in and